I'd like to open the regular session of the Berwyn Mayor and Council for Monday, July 25th, 2016. And it's been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think we're all very grateful for the fact that the air conditioning. Our first item on the agenda, as usual, is the approval of minutes. First for the executive session of July 11th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes for July 11th by Councilmember Bullius. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let the record show that it passed unanimously and that all council members are present. Next is the statement of closure for the executive session. There were actually four different areas under the state open meetings law. One was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials for whom the Berwyn Council has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. The second reason was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose. The third was to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. And lastly, before a contract is awarded or bids are open, discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal. The public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in competitive bidding or proposal process. Okay. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bullius to approve the regular session minutes for July 11th. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
I need to abstain now.
Oh, okay. All right. So the record is four. Voting is 4-0 with one abstention by Councilmember Brunel. And that was the movie one here. That was the agenda. All right. Number two item on our agenda tonight is the property purchase agreement with the 507 Flower Street Limited Liability Corporation. Laura, would you briefly explain what this is about and how this came about and where we are? I don't know, there's been a lot of things that you've heard about.
Right, and I'm turning to the town attorney, who actually, even though I've listed myself on the agenda, I would actually suggest that he would probably be
the best person
to run the council and the public for the agreement.
And we will ask for any public comments regarding this. Once everyone's here, we'll consider.
Well, this agreement of sale is for the mayor and council to purchase a piece of property owned by 502 Flower Street, LLC, which is a subsidiary of the Cannery Village LLC. The purpose of that is that what we're going to do, the purchase price is $95,000. We're going to pay a sum of $70,000 in settlement to the owner of that property. We're going to escrow $25,000 of the purchase price, and it'll be used by the town to install and maintain a 6-foot-high white vinyl fence on the property of Canterbury Village, on the back property line of the first three homes on Flower Street. We're going to plant, install, and maintain arborvitae trees, a along the southern, from the fence down to the southern end of Heron Village's property. The contract is contingent upon Cannery Village LLC granting the mayor and council an easement to construct and maintain those items on Cannery Village's property.
Also, I think, did you mention the trail or did I miss that?
No, I did not mention the trail. There's going to be a trail built in the easement. Well, the town's going to own that property
But why?
I don't know why.
The
whys aren't my deal.
Is that property, now be the town's? What we're going to do is there's already an easement for utilities, so the utilities that are provided by the town run right through this property that fronts on Flower Street. Where the easement is, where we'll need access from time to time for the utilities, we're going to, as part of this arrangement, as part of this agreement, legal agreement, we will be next spring putting in a hiking, biking, walking trail. It would be stone and be well compacted, but it wouldn't be a sidewalk because it wouldn't make sense to put the utilities down, and then if you need to access them, you have to tear up a sidewalk. Or a sidewalk would be, in my own personal opinion, overkill. What we're trying to do is start a very good example and a good prototype for hiking, biking trails all over the community. Here we have a situation where we have a new neighborhood, in a well-established neighborhood, we have a new development, and those folks don't have a way of easily accessing Flower Street by foot, bicycle, or baby carriage, or any of those things, as long as it's not motorized, and it's not made for any kind of motorized vehicle. But it will, I think it'll be a great prototype for what we hope to see over time, because many neighborhoods are requesting these. And here's an opportunity to establish one and set a precedent that then if people like it, it can be replicated in other parts of town as neighborhoods are ready. So that is what we're considering there. And from process to some point, I'd like to see if anybody has any comments. When is the best time for that?
Right now.
Okay. Does anyone wish to address the mayor and council about this agreement, which quite frankly was not part of the original approval for Cannery Village, but because of requests by folks who lived in Fontenier Street and East Berlin for many years, we've been negotiating and talking with the developers of Cannery Village pretty intensely off and on since March, and it's all kind of fallen together. And bottom line is everything that the mayor and council was asked for, we included in the agreement. So, yes, anybody?
I heard, if I'm understanding what you're saying, that the planogram you have on the floor right now is the first three houses from Cannery Village this way to 507 is where you're going to put the fence up.
Yes, ma'am.
And after that, you're going to handle some shrubbery or something.
With trees.
Okay, well, I don't know who I need to show this to. But if you look at it, if you include them three you're talking about, this here will still be open. So this is where we have the trespassing right now. So that fence you're talking about putting up will just make it cute for those individuals that are using this space right now.
Would you mind identifying what that space is?
Yeah, to me, that'd be great.
If you come from Cannery, come this way to 507, that property you're talking about buying, the first three units would be Mr. Jarman, Mr. Lockwood, and then Mr. Lockwood. That is splitting the second Mr. Lockwood's property. Past that is the guy that just purchased, which is Mr. Arnold, and I'm responsible, not that Mr. Arnold, cut his grass. And the next one is where I live, 521. Now, if you put up this fence you're talking about, and the shrubbery you're referring to, that still leaves that gap. So what are you planning on doing?
The arborvitae goes all the way from the fence all the way to the end of the
So you're going to plant some pretty trees up in there?
Like you have all over this community.
Okay.
And then, if any of them die, they will be, part of the contract is that they will be replaced. Because, you know, we can't guarantee that Mother Nature will preserve every one of them, but we will, because we'll replace them. And quite frankly, one of the key things here is we've tried to make sure that current residents, the new folks who move in, all have a common interest in making this work. And as an incentive to making sure that this all works, the providing a structured, well-maintained trail gives people, well, up this way, if somebody wants to do it the hard way and go through brushes and trees, you know, I don't know, the property owner can certainly call the police or just get out there and tell them to leave, but I think what this does is most people take the easy route and the one that is provided.
Well, the information they said, we took the shortcut. So what's wrong with extending that fence over here to that tree? Could you do that?
Well, okay.
I think what we tried to do is the property that has no, like the third properties that start, yeah. The third properties that are at the end are the ones that have no bearing in the back. They have no backyard.
Right. Okay.
The rest of the properties have a distance from their houses.
Okay.
And even the property that I own, it's not affected like the third properties in the beginning. In fact, the foot traffic right now is on the property that the town is actually buying.
Oh, yeah. My mom's dad's
Yeah. But it's more on the property that's open right there because what they're doing is cutting across this property and then other properties too. But I think with the trees that we're going to plant, it's going to help a lot, especially the fence, whose third property is that's
right
in the fence.
Okay. All right.
But that's what we're trying to avoid is a lot of that foot traffic.
And this is a situation where we're hoping to create a combination of two different kinds of barriers. And I think that's the proper description. But what we're trying to do is, this is a classic case where we're trying to, the old saying, good fences make good neighbors. This is one where we don't want the fences to divide neighbors, but to make them good neighbors so that over time, everybody, you know, basically respects each other's property and respects each other's private space. And that's going to be a community effort. What we tried to do after all the approvals were done is try to come up with something that we thought it wasn't necessarily easy, but doable. And I just want to give the time frame. The fence would be this summer. As soon as we can get a bid it out, contractor in there, and get it done. The arborvitae trees would be planted in late September, early October, because that's the best time to plant. I'm not an arborist, but planting them now will pretty much guarantee that they'll die from the heat and drought. And then the trail itself, if we can get started early, fine, but our commitment is to get that started and finished next spring so that it's there for the nice weather. So that if there's any questions or any comments, we welcome to anything anyone has to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there are some future plans for that property.
Yes.
Later, I mean, not just the trail, but there are some future
lands. The property, and again, this is a concept because we haven't had a formal vote, but we try to have at least an idea of what we're trying to do with public property. And as the money comes together, the grants come together, the area, our vision, that's the best way I think to explain it. Our vision is we're encouraging shore transit, we're going to be encouraging much more. And supporting much more what I call municipal transit of different types, from trolleys to small vehicles and so forth. And that's what there'll be like a curb cut where the vehicle could pull off Flower Street so it's not impeding traffic. and safely pick up and discharge passengers. Now, back from that, not right next to it, but back from that, because that's a nice long lot that we'd like to put in what we call a top lot, like a freighter rack. Not something for the big kids, but there's a lot of little kids, and right now, what we see is that it's, and I'm so happy we got so many children compared to 20 to 25 years ago. But in reality, parents to be able to supervise and take turns and all that, you need them in the proximity. And over time, not just the quantity, but over time, we hope to have some more of these top lots and strategically located based on how home and residential development and families prosper in the community. So, you know, that's, I can't say how fast, but I do think that that's a vision, and of course, we wouldn't be doing it until we talk to, you know, the greater community and certainly the neighborhood. I just want you to know that it's not going to be just long to be mowed forever. We have some uses for it that I hope would be useful for not only children, but also, since I'm now officially a senior citizen, I know that that alternative transportation is something I never used to think about. But now, if I can find a way to not get in my car and have to drive, boy, I love it. And so I have a feeling that from when I talk to folks my age and older, it's something that's much more wished for and hoped for, and I think expected over the next few 20 years. And I wouldn't even call it that.
If there's no more questions, I'd like to move to approve.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Is this something that we normally do with developments, or is this just like a special circumstance?
This is the first time we've ever had a circumstance like this. Yes.
So, what is the exact circumstance that led us to purchase the property?
Because the way it was originally proposed, the development literally, and I'll use Mr. Jarvin's property and Mr. Lockwood the younger, okay, is you could literally stand, and if you put a hook, one of those basketball hooks, you could stand on the property and be on the foul line for the hook on the back of the house. Despite all the setback things and everything else, and that's something we want to review, I don't think anybody any fair-minded person would think that that's right. Now, in downtown, where everything was built back-to-back 107 years ago, but in the modern development, there should be at least some reasonable buffer. And that's why the fence is there. It gets a little better, but not a lot better as you go down the property line. These are things that, because we didn't have any significant development for a number of years, what we did when things were slow is we changed the public code, and we changed it a lot. I mean, we had several public sessions. It was open to anybody and stakeholders from all kinds of things, not just residents, developers, builders, everybody came in. And we upgraded them, but we said we want to keep testing them, and when we find something that's not working, then we're going to go back and tweak. And I think in this case, in hindsight, I think the planning board would agree. In hindsight, if they had known it was that close, they could have required it. It would not have been a big deal to require to have maybe a space of the length of this room, and because the land was available. Just so interesting concept.
What changes have we made to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Well, first we're trying to solve this problem. Right? You can't fix something. You got to fix something before you can say this will work. And that's what we talked about it, but we want to propose that some changes be made to some of these requirements because it just didn't work.
If I could add something.
Yeah.
So one of the things we'll be doing with development projects in the future, especially those that are placed in close proximity to existing neighborhoods, is spending a little more time with the applicant and making sure that information is presented in such a way so that it's a really easy visual, either map or photo or some kind of demographic thing that shows what this looks like and how it fits in relationship to the neighborhood. I think one of the challenges we had with this project was if it's on a flat piece of paper, it's kind of hard to see the dimensions and proximity. I think the Planning Commission did a decent job, and I think Dave did a great job, but you can't always see what it's going to look like without some kind of three-dimensional graphic. And so that's what we're working on with projects going forward, is making sure there's some kind of schematic or three-dimensional graphic that we can place on the property so folks can go up to it and see, oh, okay, that's what it's going to look like, that's how it's going to fit on the lot, that's what it's going to look like in relationship to my house or to my backyard or to my neighbor's backyard.
And the other thing is that a lot of this, you know, it's been possible, but quite frankly, it's not been something we thought about even a few years ago. But I just took another course in Photoshop, just not because I planned to be doing it. I've been able to do it for a long time. Not because I planned to do it. I wanted to see what could be done. So historically, for at least for as long as anybody's alive can remember, the plat, and it was basically the blue lines on the white paper and, you know, and architects and everybody through, you know, pitched in. But what we're now requiring is, that not in every case, but certainly when there is immediate proximity, that they create something very visual that any person, regardless of their background, regardless of if they've got any architectural training or they just got good common sense, can look at and say, oh, that's a little close, or what about this, what about that? I think that in hindsight, you know, I'm pleased that the people spoke up. Unfortunately, and pleased we were able to work something out with the developer long past the time when everything was legally required to be done. This was voluntary. This was not about putting a gun to anybody's head or any other kind of intimidation. It was basically, hey, we've got a neighborhood problem here. We're trying to create a better neighborhood. So what can we do? And that's awesome.
As long as we've learned from it, I mean, $70,000 is a kind of a bigger mess up, but I just, as long as we learn and don't keep recreating the same mistake.
But remember, too, the future is also use that property, because we couldn't use that property for any other purpose.
Right.
But it also happened to meet another need that we didn't know what we were going to do, so now at least we. And it is kind of an interesting dilemma. And this is because I just came from a Smart Growth Conference in Washington, D.C. Back in the day, the idea of many municipalities would buy property. It was like, you know, one of the deadly sins. You just don't do it. That's not a good use of taxpayer money. Now, it's just the opposite. We, to be able to have control and provide the amenities and all the different pocket parks and all these other transit areas, and all these things that people want, it's got to be public property. But if you have to kind of buy the property as you go and as you grow, you can't do it all in one fell swoop, because then we wouldn't have money to develop. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Just like a business has to constantly invest, now municipalities that are basically changing with the times and providing the services that people want are basically having to buy property as they go, and then some gets developed immediately, others get developed down the road when the assets are there. Yes, but thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes.
We have a motion by Council Member Burrell to approve the purchase property agreement for 502 Flower Street Limited Liability Corporation. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay.
I'd like to say something to you. This agreement, now that it's passed, I can say, did not come lightly. It came as the result and I must give him credit, it came as a result of our mayor not accepting that a solution could not be found. Our mayor and Laura have worked tirelessly to work this thing out. And I think it is a testament to us, and especially the mayor's fortitude in trying to make this a community that we all can be proud of. This fence thing has weighed on us tirelessly. And we may not be satisfied. Everybody But rest assured, we have done the best we can. And it's all because of Jim Williams and Laura Allen. So I just want to publicly thank them both then.
Can I just say something briefly? I just want to congratulate this neighborhood. You're very, very lucky that this agreement was done. They did this in my backyard and nothing was done. That's why I ran for council. And it was very frustrating for me to go to these meetings, BZA, planning and zoning, and watch this happen. Because I knew when this project was done that you folks would not be happy with it. And my only point is I'm very glad. I just can't vote to pay a developer $95,000, $70,000, $25,000 for a fence when he should have done it in the beginning, and it should have been done at the planning and zoning level. And my only thing is I'm saying to the residents of Berlin, going forward, when these things are happening in your neighborhood, don't wait until after everything's approved and the project has started. Because normally it's too late to get anything done. The mayor and the developer did go back, but they also took our taxpayers' dollars and bought this piece of land. So, you know, it is a win-win for the community, but we paid for it also.
Thank you.
Next, I would just like to say one thing. As we know, I agree with this young man here, and I said it earlier, you know, we need to do foresight is better than hindsight. But the bottom line is Berlin is taking a great leap as far as growth. And there's going to be growing pains, but the thing we have to learn from those pains that we don't repeat them. And that's what we got to do, and like you said, but that project, as far as I'm concerned, when it was first proposed, it wasn't proposed in that area. It was proposed on the west end. And when all, you know, and I kind of felt that the whole thing had been settled, and then next thing I know, when it started to develop, it's on the back end. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that was sort of like a bait and switch. So I'm saying, you know, we just, you know, the community kind of, and I say, most of the time, we're slow to pick up on things, but again, when you propose projects and they kind of change, you know, a lot of times we think that everything is done and it's over with, and next thing you know, you look, that's kind of, you know, so that's, but again, it's the growing pains, and we're going to have growing pains, and I got a feeling this is not going to be the last one. But we got to be open-minded to the fact that we're going to have these. It's not going to be perfect. And all folks are saying, oh, you're looking at the growth coming and all, you know, what you're going to do? Man, I live in the neighborhood. Where are they going to put up? I said, but they growth, let it come. For that to an extent, let's control it. But there are going to be changes. You know, I mean, if I can't deal with it, I have to, you know, hopefully I'll be able to, you know, be ready to exit or move on out somewhere else. You know, maybe with what I see, it's a benefit because I'm a business. So I got to look at that. You know, so, you know, we need jobs. We need revenue. So we can't have it both ways.
No, I appreciate it. It's an interesting time, especially when you consider where things were 30, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Where we couldn't give away. I think we could have given away everything and still people wouldn't come. So, but again, it doesn't mean that we can't, and I think it's going to be a positive state of evolution.
It's going to be a benefit because you don't want to every 6 months or two you have folks coming up here complaining about, you know, the things that they're complaining about now. I mean, that's public safety. The cops and the police don't want to be called every other day or every weekend because of this.
Right.
So, you know, so we got to pay the price.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your comments, for everyone, and for your participation. I appreciate it. And next, we're going to go to item number 3 on the agenda, which is design and construction standards for water, sewer, and roadway systems. And Jane, are you going to take the lead on this?
I'll introduce Rob Doomer from PBF, who has been working diligently on updating our standards.
Yes.
The one we're currently using were from 2009.
Yeah.
So we do it periodically. This is probably the fourth upgrade since I've been around. So I'll let Rob go through any of the significant changes.
So we've got the summary of revisions here.
Do you mind coming to the table?
Yeah. So we got the summary of revisions, and like you were saying, growing pains. This is kind of after Cannery, we got a couple of things we wanted to pin down a little better to clarify with developers, future developers. So I'm just going to skim real quickly. We had to clarify the reimbursements for engineering, contract administration, and things like that to make sure the developers know exactly, when they come to build something, what is expected of them. We had a couple things in the general conditions that we cleaned up. We added electronic shop drawings. That's something in the past 10 years that's come up and just makes it easier for everyone else to review things electronically. We've updated the RPR and the inspection duties. We've got restoration, again, the escrow account, and the water. We've had from Jane, Keith, and Marvin and everybody, we've just over the years have been compiling into our old document all the little changes over the years, and you kind of hit a point where you just say, okay, we got to go ahead and put them all in. So our old redline copies of the last 2009 are now all integrated within the water. Material changes, updates, different things, industry standards, going away from cast iron, coming into ductile iron. That's not something in the past 10 years, but something that's been slow to adopt, but just something that made sense. Residential services, you've got a lot of fire flow, the new codes and laws regarding fire protection, that's all been incorporated. Sewer, mainly just some details and things, just some cleanup things we've seen. But the big thing was pump stations. We've gone ahead and standardized on all the pump stations, the various sizes of pump station that's required. And then streets, I believe, was just kind of a general cleanup of materials and restoration and things like that.
That?
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, because you're right on the front end of it and all that, what was the primary reason for making the recommendation? What was the primary motivation? I know we take it for granted, but
Because we are in the midst of quite a few projects, and we want to make sure everybody is on the same playing field since the last standards were approved. There's been changes in technology, in the industry. There's no lead meters. Mm-hmm. There's new criteria that we have to meet, and these new standards will incorporate all those, including lift stations. That's a huge topic. We have 14 lift stations in town. We'll have several more, and Maryland Department of Environment requires certain criteria for the lift stations. The town also have our standardized objects or mechanical equipment that we like in there. And it's easier when everything is standardized, when everything's the same. You're not going to 14 different lift stations that are wired differently, that have different individual units. They have the same pumps, they have the same dialer systems, they have the same electrical relay switches, so it just becomes so much easier.
And it helps the developer to know, going into the design of the project, how it's going to cost, because a designer could come to the town of Berlin with a certain pump station, and in the industry, like to say there's Cadillacs, there's Fords, and anything below that. So the developer and the designer know the expectations of the town of Berlin in regards to the quality of equipment and honestly the industry standard, but a lot of times to cut costs, things get, you know, cheaper and things like that, but it gives a level playing field, especially with the pump stations.
I have a question. Just for what we were just talking about, to put all the pieces together, we adopt, the mayor and council adopt these design and standards. Then they're incorporated into our codes and our ordinances, right? So when a developer comes to town and wants to build a project, they have to go through what we're approving tonight, and then they see things that they don't want to go along with and would like to do differently. And that's when they come in front of the planning and zoning and ask for permission to build their, get approval to develop like this. And then if they don't put things that are into our design standards, that's when the planning and zoning turns them down. And then they ask to go in front of the Board of Zoning Appeals. And that's where things happen that create the problems when we had the fence, et cetera, because we're getting away from the design and standards that we've approved. Am I getting it? Is that correct?
No.
No? Explain to me then where this fits into that.
The Planning Commission has, at least should have, no role in these design and construction standards. The Planning Commission approves a project. This has to do with how the project is built, what has to be.
Well, I'm saying they will come in and they'll go, okay, we adopted for the roadways, for example. I'm just going to throw numbers out there. Say we adopted a road supposed to be 40 feet wide.
Right.
And then the developer looks at it and goes, 40 feet wide, that takes a lot of my property up. You know, if I can go and get this road size reduced to 32 feet or whatever.
The Planning Commission doesn't have the authority to do that, neither does the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Well, I've been in here when that happens.
Well, it shouldn't be asked.
Well, Cannery Village got a variance on their entrance and a variance on the size of their roads. Right?
They got an exception on the road width from the Planning Commission. BZA was never involved.
Okay, but my point is, these designs that we are going to adopt, that's what sets the stage for these developments.
Correct.
And when a developer sees something in there that's going to cost them more money and they don't want to do it, then they have to get their project approved without going with these designs.
The only time I've ever seen town standards deviated from was by request, which was approved by the mayor and council.
And that would have been road width standard?
Yeah.
That was
right. It's been done more than once.
I believe the cannery did come before the mayor's council for the ultimate approval.
And the entrance was reduced. And that's what created some of these problems. And that's my point. I'm not trying to, you know, be, I'm just saying, you know, we adopt this stuff. There's a reason why we adopt it. You guys need this to do your job so you can give direction to these developers, but there's a drop somewhere, a hiccup.
The only time these standards, if you adopt them, the only time they can be deviated from is by your approval. The Planning Commission can't deviate from these standards.
From what I see, I go to Planning and Zoning, it doesn't get approved there, then the developer has to go in front of Board of Zoning Appeals, and then they make the recommendation to push it to us, and then we vote on it.
Then you're the one who...
But I mean, if I'm the only one voting no, what am I doing?
Well, that's something...
But I'm just saying, you know, I just have a problem when we adopt something, why we don't follow it.
It's in the first paragraph of these standards that any deviation must go before the mayor and council. So.
But it's happened, and it's created problems, is my only point.
Well, hindsight is 20/20. So we can sit here and say, woulda, shoulda, coulda all night long. And yes, it's our responsibility to stay here and there. And this is why we are revising these standards, trying to make the playing field crystal clear, mm-hmm. and the same for everybody, so we won't have those folks coming to us. Right. And it is incumbent upon us to follow our own rules.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
So when these folks come into Berlin, they come see the rules. You can hand them a pack and say, welcome to Berlin, here's our rules.
Yes.
Perfect.
And no one deserves it to adopt.
If you've got them, but they're posted.
It's not new. They're being updated. I don't want people to think there's been already everything's been willy-nilly, no. But there have been exceptions made, and maybe in some cases they made sense, and maybe in some cases they didn't. But that's, again, part of the constant evolution.
And listen, folks, you know, this is a council with five voting members. And I may be opposed to something, but this being America, when that decision is made, it is made by the council. Just because I dissent, don't remove me from this council. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're all responsible. We are responsible collectively. An individual on this council not sitting up here has no authority whatsoever, but it is the authority of the mayor and council, not Troy Purnell, not Dean Burrell, but the mayor and council. So if we're deviating from our standards, that's our responsibility, and we need to take the weight for that. And that's the way this thing works, that you just can't. That's the way it works, that's the way it should work, and that's the way it has been working. So if it's a finger pointed at Cannery Village, entrance and road and all this kind of stuff, it's us that did it.
That's why it was our responsibility to go back and please the residents, especially the three residents that are in the beginning of Cannery Village, that had the most problem with their property. Those three residents have been pleased with a fence, which they wanted in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the property owners also are being pleased with a border, with a landscape type deal. And that was our responsibility, the council's responsibility, and that's why we went back and approved it. That's why I approved it. Like Dean said, each council person has the individual right to approve it or disapprove it. And my reason for approving it was because those property owners deserve that right to have a border of some type in their backyard next to their property. So that's the reason why I made my approval, because I actually went out there and bought that project, and it's in my backyard, or not my backyard, it's in my property backyard that I own also. And I agree that this property needs some type of border between the development. So that's what we approved today. And again, thanks to Mayor and Laurel for working it out, because I started working with them, and it was better for them to work with the developer than for me with the developer. We just didn't spend too well together.
That's very diplomatic.
So I'll back down and let them have some fine print.
Does anyone have any questions regarding any of the standards at this time? Let me ask this. Obviously, we're trying to do this in a as one decision, upgrading many facets of our things. But there's no reason that, if let's say a year from now, or 2 years from now, to find that something's not working, our technology has now made something obsolete, we do have the ability to upgrade them from time to time, although we don't need to be changing standards every 6 months.
Right, and that's what we've done. This is probably the fourth upgrade since I've been around. So, but even as we use the existing one, or the one you approved tonight, or hopefully you approved tonight, and then as things change, we earmark it, we redline it, and we put the new correct.
Yeah.
And
if something major were to come up, I think we could get that completed sooner.
It wouldn't be difficult to get on the agenda, I can assure you that.
Yeah.
I think the key is using judgment about what is needed over time and what is needed urgently.
Yeah.
My question there, in the case when you, going forward, if there happened to be a case where someone come in with a development, and let's say it's put before you, you have a situation that you might consider changing, does the process include public hearing?
Always.
So when the Cantor Village did their thing, when you guys tweaked that, it was a public hearing.
Yes, it was.
So it was put out for the public. So
there's nobody here.
But that's not, that's our fault. That's the people's fault.
I think don't let this get lost. I'm going to use the old 80-20 rule. At least 80% of the time, more. There's no change in anything. It's just the standards. But every now and then something comes up, and anybody, being the United States of America, anybody can ask for anything. It doesn't mean that it's going to be approved. And sometimes you're just, unusual circumstances, and because of, hopefully, and I think this has been everywhere, representative government is, we're temporary trustees of the public's trust. We're here to try to interpret what is in the best interest of the public. Both, not just when things go smoothly, but especially when things go unexpectedly, or an unexpected problem or conflict. And that's why, if it was just a matter that you pulled out a code book, there'd be no need for elected representatives, bureaucrats, no offense to anybody who's a department head, bureaucrats would be the highest officials in the land, because there would be nobody to appeal to. I think elected bodies, basically, it's the court of last resort, and when things are going fine, nobody needs to ask us anything. But when things go a little off the beaten path, that's when people come to us with their problem, regardless if it's the developer, the neighborhood, a community group, whatever. And then we hopefully collectively make the best judgment we can and learn from it. If something keeps coming up, to me, that's our red flag that, wait a minute, something's not working. Let's concentrate on fixing it. Based on my only one lifetime of experience, an unforeseen problem can happen every now and then, but it shouldn't be happening over and over. So, and I think that's the process we're trying to do here. And quite frankly, I encourage you to continue to use your judgment rather than saying it has to, the town standards need to be redone this and redone. Based on when you're finding a lot of redlining, bring her on. And then we'll make our best judgment to it.
Can I make a motion then, please, to accept the design and construction standards for water, sewer, and roadway systems?
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the proposed design and construction standards for water, sewer, and roadway systems. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Well, congratulations, and I hope they work well, but please know that if they need changing, come see us. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Next, we're going to have and again, thank you, folks, for your comments and your suggestions. Next is our departmental reports. First is Financial Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening, everybody. Starting today, our first week for our fiscal 2016 audit, BGS and Company team will be on site tomorrow, starting the first day of the preliminary audit, and then returning back in September 12th through 16th for the finalized kind of
Now, what is your expectation? I'm not expecting to hold them to them to hold the spot. But would you say usually it's about what, early November?
Usually, we get in our report probably earlier in November. I honestly, this year, I see it's going to be a little bit late because we're converting to a new system. We're still working on closing fiscal 16, doing the journal entries and cleaning the general ledger. So it's a little bit slower as usually. Normally, we are done and ready by today, but we honestly not 100%.
But overall, we should probably have an audit, finalized audit report from UTS.
The latest I would suggest November, end of November. So I would, I would see it would be a couple of maybe weeks, just because we will have to review two financial systems versus one. So it would be two sets of reports versus one. So it will be a little bit of work for the auditing people.
Yeah.
We're still moving along with new software. And billing is moving along as well. It's we're going live. Everything is going through the new system. We're still on hold with the credit card processing. We're just tweaking a little bit of our existing server. Does not want to communicate really well with the new software. So tomorrow they should be fixing that, and we should be starting accepting credit card at the counter tomorrow. And then we will post an announcement when online. Will be available for all the customers.
So I can check online and they'll know immediately when it's available.
Yes, online portal is really user-friendly. Mary's helping finance department and billing to kind of create a very pleasant atmosphere with pictures, and we can post notices, we can post links helpful to customers. They will be able to see their account history, a usage graph online. They can pay utility bills as of right now, but we hope in going to the end of the calendar year, we should be able to allow pay business license or miscellaneous invoices as well. The customer could access very easily by creating a use ID and having their existing utility bill in front of them. So we expect a good sign in for customers, so it will be very convenient for them.
How about timing the electric bill? Was it longer a process doing the electric bill, the first electric bill, than the old system?
The first electric bill that went out in the mail was a little longer because we were redesigning it physically, the whole layout and the graph. We're trying to make sure that's very easy to understand. It went out without previously posted payments because we were accepting the payments manually. Going to the next billing cycle, everything should be on the bill that we were expected to see. And it is not a difficult process. The process, what takes long is actual reading the meters still because it's manual work involved. Transmitting the meters into the system, and then if we have to run reruns or we have to correct some information, that's the main part of the time frame. After it's all done, printing the bills and actually putting them in envelopes, it's 1 day process.
I just want to mention, because there's a lot of new faces, which is great, I haven't seen for a while, some of the folks are pretty regular. The whole idea we have been looking for 2 or 3 years, maybe longer, about automatic automatic reading. The dilemma is when it's a technological problem, is that what our goal is to have online metering in real time that is accessible to the customer and to the town. But right now, the companies that do the best job is the water meters, and the ones with electric meters are two different things, so you end up with two different systems. And quite frankly, we're being advised by the people who are supposed to be experts, and it's just a matter of time before somebody either merges with somebody or creates a meter that does both. Now, there are a lot of municipalities, a lot more than I realize, that have both. But the reason they're started separately is because they're two different utilities. But we'll see. If it doesn't come to pass, that is a commitment we made is to transfer to that, but we don't want to start converting to the meters and then find, uh-oh, they've got to remove all this new stuff. But
it's coming.
And in the meantime, it works, but I do think that it's inevitable that we'll have fully automated metering system where the meter reader will become a backup rather than a primary necessity. It's another one of those things where technology will determine, technology and also, I guess, economics will determine what it makes sense for our community. Yes?
You talked about the customer being born online, being able to access their account. Mm-hmm. Will they be able to see the history of their account?
Yes. They will be going with the details going forward. Going to the past, they will be able to see the summary. It's not fully detailed, it's summarized. But as of right now and going forward, when you go back a month prior, you will see all of the details.
So in 12 months from now, we'll be able to see all the details
whole entire
the whole year.
Yes.
So they're gradually converted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
I don't have anything this evening, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. In case you didn't know, it's a little hot out there, so we're trying to keep cool and hydrated. Wanted to show you a picture of the water tower in the process of being painted. It's moving very slow. There was a lot more detail work that they had to take care of. This was last Thursday or Friday, so they have progressed. It is, and it's a bad angle. The side with Berlin has a lot more than blue, but I think that color choice is going to be much more favorable than the ugly green moldy.
Yeah. color people were joking with this mold or this color.
Yeah, I know. it really is. And in fact, it kind of is the same blue as the sky, so it's really going to blend in nicely. So that should be completed this week. Also, talking about meter reading, we're reading meters this week. So if you see our guys out there, they pass out on your front lawn. There's water on them or something.
There's water.
That's all.
Thank you. Branch Street sidewalks.
Branch Street sidewalks, they have been awarded, and they have been issued the go-ahead, and we will get a start date here very shortly.
Jane, yes. Quick question. What size is that tank?
200,000 gallons.
Is it the biggest one?
No, the one on 346 is 250,000.
Oh, okay.
Great. Next is, thank you very much. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Past 2 weeks, our summer crew that helps during the summertime, they have a project in Decatur Farms. They were painting all the streetlight poles and transforming. They have completed that, and it looks really nice. They moved on over to Powell Circle, Desham Avenue area, so they're doing that area over there now. And also, we've been doing a lot of tree trimming in various locations. Anytime we get a break, I have the crew working on tree trimming, because trees seem to give us a lot of issues during storms. And also, I'm sure you're all fully aware of the peak shaving that's been going on. So far, we've ran a total of 10 times, and we possibly could run 3 more this week. If that happens, then we will tie our record for the most runs in one summer. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with the rest of July and going into August. So.
Yeah, could be more. 13 is the record.
Yes.
In the past, and it sounds like we're definitely going to hit that.
Going into August, we could end up breaking that. So it depends on what's going to happen with the weather and the weather. And then also, I'm sure everybody's aware of the bathtub races. We went in that along with Porter. We did fairly well. It was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it. And over at 112 Austin Circle was a new house that was built by a developer, and we installed the electric service. And we also did, at the same time, we installed the cable TV in Verizon, which they pay us to do that. So we installed that in the same ditch with us. And then also at the visitor center, we finished the LED replacement project, replacing all the interior lights with LED. So if you go in there, it's a little bit brighter than normal.
The look of the lights is the original early 1950s, so they're vintage looking.
Yes.
But they've got the modern bulbs.
That's correct. The energy savings can range anywhere from 40 to 70% depending on how much you use.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Brown.
Good evening, everyone. I had an opportunity to take 26 rambunctious youth to Jolly Rogers with Berlin Youth Club on the 13th. I would have pictures like these too if I was a little swifter. I have them in my pockets, so I'll email those out. But again, it was a very rewarding day, and it was a lot cooler there than here on the street. So we want to again thank Worcester Youth for the opportunity. And we also like to go ahead and publicly thank Main Street Deli for providing the lunch at a discounted rate for us. And for Main Street for baking desserts, for providing the desserts and the cookies, and actually being Robin was one of our chaplains also.
Wow.
So again, that is the first opportunity we've had this year to go ahead and sponsor the group. And we will be sponsoring again next month. Hopefully going to Del Mar with the trampolines again this year. So again, it's very rewarding to have an opportunity to go ahead and interact and have fun with the little ones. We actually were a part of the Prayer Village vigil on last Monday at Multi Purpose Building, and we were also a part of the law enforcement community meeting with NAACP last Thursday. We're also planning for National Night Out, and we encourage everyone to come out on Tuesday the 2nd. That is next Tuesday, not tomorrow. Again, we've been getting phone calls from the community to go ahead and say, hey, can we either have the table up? Can we be a part of it? So we encourage everybody in the community to come out and let's have a good time together.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next is Planning Zoning Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Since we met last, the Planning Commission had its regular meeting on the 13th of this month. And they had two site plans to consider. One was for Atlantic General Hospital's Cancer Center, and they recommended approval of the site plan. And the second site plan approval they recommended was for the new branch of the Berlin Public Library, Worcester County Library Berlin branch. So both of those projects will be moving forward as we go. More development as we've been talking about tonight. So.
And are those very light?
I don't know, I mean, well thought out. I thought the plans were excellent, and so did the Planning Commission. So.
Thank you.
One question. Dave, do you think that we could get someone to help in trying to get planning and zoning and historic district back on the screen? Because I think it would help folks at the meetings we used to have. It's kind of like they're up here reviewing all these plans and stuff, okay. And we're looking at blank screens. Sure. And I just think it would help people with all the things that are going on to be able to see what they're...
The old picture with 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, usually applicants, I ask them, I said, if you want to use a PowerPoint presentation, and especially the last two, they were both Vista Design, and they said, no, they would do it with an easel, so they wanted to do it.
I think your suggestion is very good, because it's not just for the Planning Commission, but it's an open meeting for a reason. So the citizens, the press, anybody,
sure.
can come and know what's going on. And I think that's not a full requirement yet, but that's our expectation.
Mayor,
I think that is it there.
Excuse me, if I can add something. The council added, included money in the budget for this fiscal year for us to replace, work on projectors as well as some better audiovisual equipment in the room to exactly address that concern. Not every thumb drive has worked successfully in the setup that we have,
yep.
So we're trying to move to being able to demonstrate and show that kind of information at every meeting. I think our technology is just not quite there yet, but we are working on getting a new system.
The technology capacity varies greatly from town to town, and a lot of times it has nothing to do with the size of the town or the budget. It's just attitude towards technology. So it's very interesting. sometimes feel like when you go from town to town, you're going from century to century.
Well, we usually will ask applicants, especially with historic, sometimes it's smaller stuff, or it's a homeowner, so they're not going to, well, we usually ask them if they prefer that. We can arrange that.
Yeah.
And we had a couple instances, like Laura saying, the equipment was failing us this past year, but I think we'll be on.
But an upgrade is in this budget, right?
It is. Okay. Actually, it's tentatively scheduled for the end of August.
That's great.
That's good.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next is Managing Director Jeff Leibler.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have nothing.
Well, I know this is going to be a hard act to follow, but that will be economic and community development. Bobby Wells.
No, I don't have a lot of things.
You have lots.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're going to try to lighten it up a little bit here. We are running our Buy Local Challenge this week to encourage everyone to buy local products, go to your farmer's market. Department of Agriculture and also Maryland's Best decided that we were doing a really awesome thing, so they're promoting it as well. So take a notice about what Berlin is doing, and they're very thrilled to see that. We've kind of taken it a step further by offering it to not just farmers markets, but anything that is made locally in Berlin. So what the contest is, for those who don't know, you go to the farmers market or you go into town and you purchase a meal at one of the local restaurants or something made in Berlin, take a picture of it, and you upload it to our Facebook event, and then your name gets put into a raffle for a basket of local products, gift cards, and anything and everything Berlin. So hopefully everyone takes us up on that. And I also, Mary, the movie in the park is Saturday night.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. Princess Bride this Saturday at Steven Decatur Park. I did have something after all.
Yes, you did. I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Thank you.
And the Berlin Peach Festival and Heritage Festival is Saturday, August 6th from 11 to 4. We're encouraging locals to walk or bike down. For everyone else, we are offering free shuttle service from BIS, courtesy of the Ocean Downs Casino. And so Main Street will be closed that day, as well as the Beach Festival going on at Calvin B. Taylor.
So people will be able to move freely between the museum and downtown Main Street.
Correct. And there's two separate scheduled events, and I've been working with both organizations so the events complement each other and there are not two things going on at the same time. So it'll be a really fun day on August 6th.
And this will be our second Heritage.
Our third.
Third.
This will be our third.
Is this the 8th Peach Pop Festival or 7th?
This is the, yeah. And then one more. I want to thank Jeff and Stephen, part-time employee, awesome student Stephen, who painted the kitchen and the visitor center and the bathroom. He did a great job. I also asked him to paint a couple of other things that were donated to us. Thank you to Joe and Susan Moore for donating some artist pedestals that we're going to use for some displays, and Stephen painted them, no questions asked. He did an outstanding job, so thank you, Jeff, for having him do that. And the facade work on the visitor center will start within the next few weeks. So look for a new facade, and the new Berlin Welcome Center sign should go up anytime now.
Great.
That's it. I'm done now.
Thank you. No, that's great.
Thank you.
Great. And you'll be sure to bring pictures when it's all done.
Always. Yep.
See, Jeff, I know you had something to do with painting.
I didn't have nothing.
Next is our town administrator's report.
Yeah, I have a couple of announcements. We're going to have a community meeting to talk about the two Hudson Branch stormwater projects. The stormwater management system that's going in behind shore up, as well as the culvert replacement project that's on Flower Street. The date of that meeting is the 9th of August. It's at 6 p.m. in the multipurpose building. And we'll be issuing a press release on that. Probably tomorrow. 6 p.m. We'll be putting a flyer together, and Jane has graciously agreed to go. So I can't deliver those flyers to those who know about this meeting. We'll be working on that. We will be talking about the schedule of the project so that people know what to expect over the next couple months while we're working on those projects.
Great. And we'll be able to ask some of the people we hear that they can ask questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also wanted to take a minute to introduce Kelsey Jensen, who doesn't know I'm doing this, but okay. Kelsey is going to be starting as an administrative assistant in Town Hall on the 8th of August. Stand up for a second, Kelsey. This is Kelsey Jensen. Nice to meet you. We're very excited to have her, and thank you so much for coming tonight.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be there.
Great. And then I have just a couple purchases. So I've got purchase order 32, which is fuel for the power plant, in the amount of $22,800. And then I have requisition 33 with Freemeyer and Associates for a cellular monitoring system, and that's $14,790. And the request approval with those two.
Anybody have any questions for Laura regarding the purchase orders?
What's the cellular system for?
It's for six of them, and it's the remote, for lack of better explanation, SCADA system. It's an alarm system. It dials out if the lift station is out of power.
Oh,
if it's high level, yeah, it goes right to our computer. We can have that.
Kind of like a float switch.
Yes, and it's also, it's ME requires, you have to have certain things.
And it's in this document.
It's in our
Good answer.
So no deviating from it.
Yeah.
I'd like to make that motion, except approve these two purchase orders. Keep me out of trouble.
Yes. We have a motion by Councilman Gullius to approve both purchase orders as recommended by the county administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Great. Thank you.
Again, I would like to thank everyone for coming out on such a hot evening, and please keep an eye on your neighbors, particularly older folks. It's unprecedented to see this much heat after a spring of that this much rain. And again, also want to thank folks throughout the community for their participation in the peak.
Tweaker peak.
It's hard to tell when after the fact, but we keep being told by folks who are experts in American municipal power was here for the first time to a board meeting last Tuesday and Wednesday. And everybody keeps talking about conservation is still the most effective means of reducing your energy bill. So, that makes some people a little uncomfortable, but let's take care of the infirm and the elderly and everybody else. If you make a little sacrifice, hopefully we can all get to this without any kind of damage to anyone's health, but at the same time, you can do minimal damage to your budget.
A couple things. Well, first off, I'm checking on the other one. We all call me the next couple of days.
You got
it? I'm hoping that this is under Parks. I think this is probably under Mary's purview. But I had some folks come in today. They weren't complaining. They just wanted to bring some things to our attention. Down at Stephen Decatur Park, they said the water fountain at the park was not working. If we could check on that. They said the mats beneath the swings, they look like they're probably outlived their usefulness. There's some kids getting their toes caught on these things when they're swinging. If we could remove them, replace them, whatever the case may be. There's some type of a seated ride. There's things that sit on the springs and go back and forth. Evidently, there's one down there that has a base, but no ride on it. And the base is sticking up about 3 to 4 inches. It seems. So if we could just inspect those rides. And then the last biggest thing was, and I believe this person because they know what they're talking about, there's a ton of poison ivy down there around those trees.
Specifically in the nature trail or?
They said, well, that's why I asked them, and they said throughout.
Throughout.
Some of the trees that may be 6 to 8 inches and caliber and diameter. They said the poison ivy is just all over it. Now, I don't want to go down there and check it out, but all I know is leave it three, leave it be. So.
Yeah. The water fountain, don't the kids vandalize that?
But we do. We only turn it on when we have a special request because it is left on constantly and it just makes a mess and they break it quite often. Addressing the playground stuff, we just received an order Friday of $5,000 worth of replacement stuff, including awesome. The little springy thing and those mats and sort of. So that those will be taken care of very shortly.
And was it your crew that was doing the painting of the fire hydrants?
Yes, some of.
Thank you for that. Having been in the fire service 10 years, I think they're doing an exceptional job. It really makes them stand out. And you have no idea how much that helps you for your needs. So thank you.
Thank you for bringing up the point. I mean, that's something I don't think will be in a remedy if it's like that. There's got to be somebody who's figured out how to do this because I know.
Well, not everybody catches it, so I just have to find out who can get it.
But it's an interesting dilemma because it won't go away.
Right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much for bringing that up.
Yep. Sir, I'd just like to thank Mary for working all that overtime for those announcements that she's not going to get paid for.
I probably shouldn't explain this, but I can set them up whenever I want to go out whenever I want. So it's really no hardship.
It's really awesome.
My house lights up.
It's really awesome.
Well, I have not received one negative word about it, so people are hopefully, I don't know if I can say enjoying getting them, but they're it means something when they get them. They are doing that.
How did you request to have the water fountain on? What was that about?
Well, if there's somebody's renting the pavilion or there's an activity, then we turn it on.
So tomorrow, with the temperature expected to be over 9 o'clock,
we'll turn it on in the morning and turn it off tomorrow.
He's just quite right.
Make sure you guys agree.
Do we have any comments or questions or concerns from anybody who's here tonight? Do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
We stand adjourned. Thank you again for your patience and your participation.
You're a good girl.